for that special. So thankful that he was thinking of me when he went to Calvary. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 18. We spent several weeks talking about the church. The church is absolutely vital for us to live for Christ in the world today. The church was founded by the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by His Spirit, and we desperately need church to live for Christ in the world today. He's called and commissioned us to reach the world with the gospel. Another absolutely fundamental organization that God created in the very beginning is the family. We're going to spend a few weeks, Lord willing, studying about the family. We're going to learn some biblical basics for a blessed home. We've got to get back to the Bible if we're going to see our homes become what God wants them to be. Amen. The family has been largely abandoned in our world today. Cohabitation, divorce, gay marriage, promiscuity. The family, the biblical family, is under attack in our country today and in the world today. And too many Christians have just kind of let it go. Too many who claim Christ have abandoned what the Bible says about these things of marriage and the family. And I want to say this from the outset, so let me get it right now so nobody misses it. I know that none of us have a perfect family. Let me give you one more chance. Wake up. I know none of us have a perfect family. I don't stand before you as your pastor trying to pretend like we have a perfect family. We're human beings just like everybody else. Melissa and I have been married for over 15 years now, and I thank God for that. She told me when we first started dating and got serious, I told her that I didn't believe in divorce, and she told me the same thing, but she also went on to say that she did believe in murder. She promised never to divorce me, but murder has never been taken off the table as a possibility. See, some of you are laughing, and others look very serious, and that's the way I feel about it, too. I try to say things like this publicly as much as I can, so when something does happen to me, maybe justice will be served. Listen, we don't have a perfect family. Our children are not perfect, but we are trying to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I try to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I know that I fail miserably every day. I am required by God to keep my family in subjection with all gravity, with all seriousness as a pastor. And I don't take that lightly. It's very important to me that my children behave in the right way. And we do all those things. But I'm not up here today or in the next few weeks to pretend like our family is perfect. It's not. But I am trying to stand up here to admonish myself and you that our families can be better. I want to say from the outset that our families are not perfect and not everybody's family situation is what it ought to be. We know that God hates divorce, and many of you have been divorced, and some of you have been divorced and remarried, and nobody understands why God hates divorce better than someone who's been through divorce. Listen, there might be some messed up individuals that say, man, we got divorced and it was the greatest day of my life. I know there are people like that, but that's not normal and it's not right. Most people who have been through a divorce know that it's not a good thing. They know that it's a terrible thing, that someone who was joined to you in ways that only marriage can do has been torn from your life, and it hurts and it's hard and it's difficult and it's messy and it's ugly. And I understand that today. So I'm going to talk to you about God's plan for marriage and the family. I'm going to talk to you about God's design for it. And none of us can do anything about yesterday. Amen. What's done is done. None of us can. I'm not here to make you feel bad about the past. I'm here to encourage you for today. Amen. Everybody with me? Okay, I need you to get that because I'm going to say a lot of things. And I know how it is when you start hearing these truths and when you start seeing this picture of what God wants the family to be, and then you look at your own family and you go, it's kind of discouraging sometimes. It's kind of hurtful, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to tell you that no matter where you're at, God loves you. He has grace for you. And when we start applying biblical principles to our homes, God will bless. Amen. Okay? So it may not be perfect, but it can get better. And we can align ourselves. And it doesn't matter if you're married. It doesn't matter if you've been divorced. It doesn't matter if you're a single parent. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can apply biblical principles to your home, and God will bless those things. All right? Good. Let's pray. And then we're going to read the scripture today. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I thank you for this church, for the privilege to be a part of your church. And I thank you for the families that are represented here today. God, I thank you for my family. I thank you that you've given me a wife. And I thank you that you've blessed us with children. And Father, I thank you for families. Thank you for mine. And I thank you for the other families that are a part of this church, God. And I pray that though we are not perfect, though we are far from what you want us to be, God, you've given us grace. And we have found your favor. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to look to you, not just in starting a family, but in continuing as a family, Lord, that our families would be what you want us to be. Lord, help us to find these biblical principles. Help us to apply them to our lives day by day. Lord, change us. Make us what you want us to be. Lord, I pray for healing for broken hearts and homes. I pray for grace and mercy for all of us who have fallen short. And I pray, Lord, that by your grace that we would move forward from today encouraged and equipped by your word to be families that are biblical and are receiving your blessings. Please bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're able, let's stand to honor this reading of God's word this morning. We're going to read one verse, Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. Proverbs 18, 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Please be seated. I want to tell you this morning that if you found a wife, you found a good thing. Not always everybody sees it that way. I read about a man who was an old bachelor. Maybe you heard about him. He had never met a woman that he wanted to marry because, well, they talked too much. And he'd gone a long time and gotten a little older, but then one day he found what some used to call an old maid, and she was very quiet, and so he fell in love with her, and he proposed to her. He said those faithful words. He didn't really talk to her much, and she didn't talk much, and he thought that was perfect, and so he proposed. He said, "Will you marry me?" And from the moment he proposed, she accepted. She never stopped talking. She just went on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and finally she realized that he wasn't saying much, and she said, "Well, honey, you're not saying very much." And he said, "I've said too much already." When he proposed, come on, people. We know that families aren't always what we want them to be. Do you remember reading Winston Churchill's famous speech when he said, "We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. And we shall fight in the hills." Somebody said, "That sounds exactly like our family vacations." On the beaches, in the fields, on the street, we'll fight everywhere. Listen, family's not perfect. It's not always what we would like it to be, but I want you to know that God will bless. And there is a lot in the scriptures that have to say, the scriptures have a lot to say about marriage. Listen, from the very beginning, God established the family. Now, a lot of times, a young couple will get married, and they'll decide, they'll start talking about having children, and they'll say, "We want to start a family." I want you to understand, your family started the day you said, "I do." Amen. Marriage is the foundation for family, not having children. And so, family is begun by a couple coming together in the sacred union of marriage. Amen. And by the way, it is a sacred union. It is a sacred union between one man and one woman, and God designed it to be for life. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. It doesn't matter what any state government says. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Amen. Because men's hearts are evil, we do have to deal with divorce, and the reality of those things But I want you to know God's design. I want you to look here at our text, and we're just going to glean two very basic truths today. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I want you to know that a bride is to be sought. A bride is to be sought. He says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That indicates that a young man is looking for something valuable, for something good. And when he finds a wife, he's found a good thing. Now, we make the jokes like the fella who found the lady that just didn't stop talking after he proposed. And we laugh about those things. And it's all good and well, I suppose. But at the end of the day, friends, men, let me tell you, if you have a wife today, you've been blessed by God. You've gone through life looking for something. Maybe you wanted to have a career. Maybe you had a dream. Maybe you, after sports or athletics or your hobbies or your job or money or a house or boats or whatever it is you look for, I don't know whether any of that's been good, but if you found a wife, you found something that's good. It's a good thing to find a wife. It indicates that you're looking for someone, and I want you to know that when you find a godly wife, you found something incredibly valuable. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Amen. Everything that you look at when it has to do with marriage in the Bible, it's really, really awesome because there's a counterpoint to every point. When you look at what God says to the man, there's a counterpoint to what God would say to the woman. When God says for the wife to submit to her husband, he says before that for them to submit to one another. When God says for a man to love his wife, he tells the woman to reverence her husband. There's, for every point that he makes in marriage, there's a counterpoint. And I want you to see this. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And if you look at the Hebrew, the indication, the language is he finds a good wife. He's found a good thing. And obviously, a lady ought to strive to be a good wife. A good wife. I'll tell you, I love the way that Matthew Henry put this. He said, a good wife is a great blessing to a man. He that finds a wife, that is, a wife indeed, a bad wife, does not deserve to be called by a name of so much honor. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Listen, ladies, when God says that a man's found a good thing when he's found a wife, that also depends on you being a good wife. And a man ought to strive to be the best husband that he could be. He ought to model his life after Christ, to love his wife as Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. But on the other side of that, there ought to be a woman who's striving to be what God has called her to be, to model what God has called the church to be in response to who Christ is, and to love and reverence her husband and to be what God designed the woman to be, a helpmeet to her husband. So I'm going to tell you some things over the next few weeks that really don't jive with our culture today and certainly fly in the face of feminism. And I want you to understand something today. Women are valuable before God. They are created in the image of God, but God did make the man first. And there is an order that God has placed in the home. It doesn't mean that the woman's less valuable or less important. It just means she has a different role. And as a matter of fact, she is in many ways more important than her husband. And if a husband is a godly man, he will treat his wife as though she's the most valuable person in the world. Amen. If you found a wife, you found a good thing. She is precious. Her price is far above rubies. Now, I need to take a little... The Bible does this a lot, and I'd like to do it in the sermon today. Sometimes the Word of God gives us a parenthetical, a parenthesis, and I want to give that right now. There are some exceptions. Marriage isn't for everyone. Did you know that? Marriage is not for everyone. How do you know? Well, Jesus said so. In Matthew chapter 19, in this passage in verses 3 through 12, the Lord is dealing with the Pharisees who are tempting him, talking about divorce, and I don't want to dig into all of that this morning, but I want you to get this. In verse 10, Matthew 19 and verse 10, his disciples saying to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Listen, there are some people that it's just not given to them to marriage. It's not in them. It's not. There are young men who it's not in their place in life to get married. And some of them chose that way and some of them didn't choose that way. But it's not their place to be married and to have children. It's just not given to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, Paul says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn in your lust." But not everybody has those desires to be married. And listen, it's not for everyone. You can tell that some of you don't like this preaching, but it's what the Bible says. It's not for everyone. Now listen, we look at somebody who comes up through life and they go through their high school years, they go through their college age and they're still not married. A lot of times we'll look at them like, what's wrong with you? Something's not right. But God has given that to some people. He's given it to them. And it's not for everybody. And listen, you don't need to be ashamed of what God has given you. You don't need to be ashamed of what God has given to you. So there are exceptions to this. This is Proverbs, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It is a proverbial truth. But for those to whom it is given, for those who have that desire to be married, let me admonish you, especially you young men, seek her carefully. Seek her carefully. Other than being saved, baptized, and deciding what church you're going to join yourself to, those spiritual decisions are the most important decisions you'll make in your life. Amen. Choosing who you're going to marry has the greatest impact on your life of any decision that you'll make. Right. Who are you going to marry? I like what one preacher said. He always told his daughters, what kind of guy are you going to marry one day? And he had it drilled into him. She would say, somebody as much like us, only a boy. Somebody as much like us, only a boy. I gotta like that. Listen, you ought to marry somebody who believes the same things that you believe. And you ought to believe what the Bible says. Amen. And so you ought to believe somebody who believes the Bible. You ought to be careful about who you go after and pursue. Now, I want to give you another warning. This is going to shock some of you, especially young people. Listen to me. If you date someone, the people you date turn into the people you marry. So don't date somebody that you wouldn't want to marry. Amen. This is deep theology right here, I know. But try to stay with me. Listen, I see it all the time. I see young people start dating somebody, they don't believe the same, they don't go to the same kind of church, they don't go to church at all. And I say, well, what are you going to do when you get married? And they look at me like I've got three heads, like, we just started talking, we're not going to get married. But guess what? Fast forward a few months, and guess what? They're engaged. Amen. But now what? Now you're going to marry somebody who doesn't believe? Now you're going to marry somebody who goes to a church that preaches false doctrine? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Listen, don't date them in the first place. If you're going to date somebody who believes the truth. Amen. I pray this for my children all the time, that they will find a spouse who loves Jesus more than anything else. Amen. Listen, I'm... be honest with you, it makes me a little bit sick to my stomach to think about my kids getting married. Thank you, Brother Billy. It makes me just a little bit sick to my stomach to even think about it. But I pray this with all my heart, that God would let them find a spouse that loves God more than they love my children. Because if my girls can marry a young man who loves God more than he loves anything else, even her, she's going to be in so much better position than if this young man would put her ahead of God. I want my boys to find wives that love Jesus more than they love anything else, including my boys, Because if that's the case, then they're going to be the best wives my boys could ever dream of. Amen. I plead with God to give my kids that. And listen, you ought to seek her carefully. You ought to seek out biblical counsel. I know this isn't applying to everybody. We got a lot of young people in here that one day are going to get married, and they need to hear this. You need to seek biblical counsel. What does that mean? It means when you start wanting to date a boy or you start wanting to date a girl, you don't need to ask your stupid friends at school about that person. And I don't mean that in a derogatory term. I just mean that teenagers are dumb. I'm trying to find a different way to say it to not be insulting, but listen, they don't have any experience. They don't have any knowledge. They don't know about these things, and they're certainly not going to base their opinions on the Word of God. They're going to base their opinions on their Instagram account. Come on. Seek biblical counsel. Talk to your mom and dad about the person that you like. Amen. Find out what they think. Bring them around your parents. Listen, if you can't bring them around your parents, amen. Hello? How's that going to work out at Christmas? Use your brain. Look ahead more than the next 5 seconds. Seek biblical counsel. How about this? God has put biblical authority in your life. You've got parents that are authorities in your life, and you've got a pastor, and I care about you guys. I know that I get on you sometimes, and I just called you stupid, and I apologize for that, but I'm sorry. Sorry. You have to. God says. Okay, I didn't mean that you're stupid. I mean that you're inexperienced and unlearned. Okay. Stay with me here. Maybe. God has put parents in your life, and He's given you a pastor. He's given you Sunday school teachers, these people who pour the Word of God into you every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Listen to me. We love you guys. We care about you. I've pleaded with most of you not to even date until you're old enough to get married. I've begged you to please don't date until you're old enough to get married. And some of you just kind of grin and shake your head. Listen to me. I promise you, it's going to give you a whole lot of heartache and temptation that you don't need. Let me just do this real quick. How many of you can honestly say in relationships you've had your heart broken? Would you raise your hand? Okay, all right. Now, how many of you have broken someone else's heart? Can I see your hands? There we go. I was waiting for Melissa to raise her hand. See, I told you our marriage isn't always perfect. It'd be rough today. I promise you, if you've had your heart broken, it's not a fun experience. See, what happens is when you start liking somebody and you get serious about them, you're giving something of yourself away. Amen. Emotionally, you're giving something of yourself away. And when that relationship is severed, it hurts. Listen to me. I don't want you guys to be hurt. I don't want you to have to come to your mom or dad or your friends or to me crying because you're heartbroken. And I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to be heartbroken. I don't want you to have to face that. There's a whole world of temptation that comes from being in a relationship when you're not ready to get married. Listen, let's just put it out there, friends. There are physical attractions and physical desires that the temptation gets really, really strong. And I promise you, you need to wait until marriage. Amen. I don't care what the world says. They're wrong. It will hurt you spiritually and mentally, emotionally, and physically. It will hurt you. Amen. When you become physically intimate with somebody before you're married. I promise you. So I plead with you not to have those kind of relationships so you're old enough to get married. But since most of you don't listen to me most of the time, when you do decide to have a relationship, find somebody that's like you. Seek biblical counsel. And please, I beg you, find somebody in spiritual places. Amen. I love it. Christians get out from home, they go off to college, they start living stupid and doing stupid things, and most of them try to find somebody they want to marry at the bar. Well, I'm sure that'll work out well. It's not that it can't work out well. It's just use your brain. Listen, you're not going to find somebody who loves Jesus at the bar.
Amen.
And if you love Jesus, you wouldn't be there either.
Amen.
Oh, did you see how I set that up? Listen to me. Find them in spiritual places.
Amen.
Some of you just dying to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We're going to church camp in a couple of weeks. It's a great place to find somebody. Look at these girls up here giggling. See? I know. Seek them carefully and seek them prayerfully.
Amen.
Seek them prayerfully. Hey, guys. The Lord is the one who builds the house. We don't build the house. We don't build the family. God does.
Amen.
We need God's help. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And there's so much to be said about marriage and the family in those verses. Listen, we have an enemy who wants to destroy your life, and he wants to destroy your home and young people. He wants to destroy your marriage before it ever starts. So look to God, pray to God, God help me, deliver me from my enemies. Lord, please guide me in the right way. And then he says, listen, wait on the Lord. If you're going to pray about your marriage, then wait for God to work.
Amen.
Wait for God to work. I believe God has somebody for you. If it's given to you to marriage, that you could marry the one God wants you to marry. I also believe you could marry the wrong one.
Amen.
This isn't a Disney movie. This is reality. You can marry the right person that God has for you. You can marry the wrong person that God has for you. He's given you free will. He lets us do dumb things all the time. So I'm begging you to pray about who you'd marry someday and wait. Wait on the Lord. A bride is to be sought. Marriage is a good thing. Family is a good thing. And the world doesn't see it that way. In recent years, the median age for first marriage continues to drop. Back in 2003, men were 27 and ladies were 25. By 2018, it's gone up a few years. Men are 29.8, so 30 years, and ladies are about 28 years before their first marriage. We keep delaying adulthood. We keep putting off marriage because we want to stay kids as long as we can, right? I'm a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. Some of you don't even know what that is because, you know, I'm old and they kind of shut that place down. But we don't want to grow up. We keep putting it off. We keep putting off being an adult. We keep putting off marriage. We keep moving it away. But I want you to know that marriage is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I don't care what the world says. More and more people are cohabiting. If you don't know what that means, then maybe you understand this phrase. They're shacking up. It's something that's becoming more and more prevalent in the world today. In 2018, 15% of young adults aged 25 to 34 lived with an unmarried partner. That's up 3% in just 10 years. Among those younger, 18 to 24, cohabitation is now more prevalent than living with a spouse. And by the way, the numbers that I've looked at, you can't tell the difference between Christians and non-Christians. If you want to live with somebody like husband and wife, let me help you out. God's done this incredible thing for you. He's made a way. Marry them.
Amen.
If you want to live with somebody like you're married, then marry them. Otherwise, it's fornication and God won't bless that. If you don't want to marry them, then stop living with them like you want to be married to them. That makes no sense to me.
Amen.
We want to live like we're married, but not be married. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. What, do you just not want the commitment? Well, that's encouraging to a young lady, fellas. Can we just shack up? Because I'm not sure how long I want to stick around. No. No. Ladies, you're more valuable than that.
Amen.
More and more people are putting off marriage. More and more people are just not married at all. 28% of all households in 2018, 28% of households are single households. In the 1960s, there were only 13%. That means people, they're just not getting married. People have decreased the value of marriage. And God says it is, marriage is a blessing from God. And notice that our text says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's a blessing that's supplied by God. It's a blessing from God. God gives this blessing. You've obtained favor. It's the grace of God in your life. The world may believe that family is unimportant. They may try to go around God's sacred and ordained design for a man and a woman to come together in a lifelong union and be fruitful and multiply, but those who follow the world's plan will miss out on the richest blessings God has for a man and woman in a marriage.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 31, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree and the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
Amen.
And so when God created marriage, when he put a man and a woman together, he said it is very good. And he blessed them. And he blessed them. Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children and the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I want you to know today that marriage is a blessing from God. Children are a blessing from God. Family is a blessing from God. I ought to thank God for our family.
Amen.
Let me say this. If you are not married and you have no desire to be married one day, you have a tremendous opportunity to live for the Lord, the Bible says, without distraction. Do not be ashamed of how God has made you, but be careful not to focus on yourself. Too many people who are unmarried, they are unmarried and they stay unmarried because they just don't want to deal with a husband or a wife. They just don't want to deal with kids. They just don't want to deal with it because they're self-absorbed. But you don't have to be that way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. If you're not married, you don't want to get married, that's fine, but don't live for yourself, live for the Lord. If you are not married, and you want to be married someday, are there anybody here, young people, anybody? You're not married, but you want to be married someday? Josiah is not that man. Buddy, Yeah, don't be ashamed. Wanting to be married is a good thing. If you want to be married, you're not married, you want to be married someday, be the kind of person. Be the kind of person that you would want to marry. Walk with the Lord every day. Be faithful. Be true. Search for the one God has for you by carefully and prayerfully. Seek them through biblical counsel and find them in spiritual places. If you are married and you're not both serving the Lord, be the kind of person you want your spouse to be. Listen to me. They try to tell you that people can't change. It's simply not true. God changes people all the time.
Amen.
And God can use you to bring about change in others by changing yourself. We can be used by God to change others by changing ourselves. Be the virtuous woman. Be the man who loves his wife like Christ loved the church. Peter tells us that wives, when they're in subjection to their own husbands, if their husbands are not saved, that the wife can bring her husband to Christ by the way she lives her life.
Amen.
If you're married and you're not both serving the Lord, be the kind of person you want your spouse to be. And if you are married and you're both trying to serve the Lord, don't get complacent. Fellas, let me say this to you as I say it to myself. Don't stop pursuing your wife. You know, fellas, you went to a lot of trouble to catch her. Go ahead, nod your head. I know it's true. You know, God did a work in her mind. He gave her a momentary lapse of judgment. I ask Melissa all the time what she did to deserve me. She's still trying to figure out so she can repent of it. Fellas, don't get complacent. Don't stop pursuing your wife. And wives, don't stop being a helpmeet to your husband. It's what he created you for. He created you to be a helpmeet. God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for this fellow to be alone. And he made him a helpmeet. I know you get frustrated with your husbands because they need a lot of help, but that's what God gave you to him for, is to be that help. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Marriage, family, is a blessing from God.
Amen.
And we got to get back to the Bible and stop listening to the world if we're going to have a blessed family life. This morning, as we get ready to sing an invitation, will you stand with me, please? We ought to acknowledge God in the family that he's given us. We ought to give him thanks because we've obtained favor of the Lord. We've been blessed with our families today. This morning, I would encourage you to give thanks for your family. For all of you parents who have children that are unmarried, I want to plead with you right now during this invitation that you would pray for your children to find godly spouses. For you young people that are here, and all of you except for Josiah that want to get married one day, I want to encourage you to plead with God to lead you to the one he has for you and to commit yourself to wait
Amen.
On the Lord, to wait for that one that God has for you. This morning, if God's burdening your heart, wherever you're at, unmarried, married, want to get married, whatever case you're in, we need God to help our family. So if he's burdening your heart today, I encourage you to spend some time with him. I want to say this before we sing. Family will never be what God wants it to be if we are not all trusting in the Lord. Christ has to be the center of our home. So trust in him. If you've never been born again, you can trust in him today. You've been saved. You need to get baptized. Take the steps you need to make. We need to be obedient to Christ individually for our families to be blessed by God. Let's sing.
Hey, Bob.